My name's Mike Brace. I'm here because pretty passionate about Braille, and had a big impact on my life when I had lost my son, age 10. I have to learn Braille pretty quickly to communicate, and the passion for Braille stayed with me all my life. So I gave a talk about Braille at one of the London events a few weeks ago.
What does Braille mean to you?
It, liberating, I suppose, was the first part of it. I started to do it because basically I needed to be able to read and write fairly rapidly and fairly quickly because I had to sit exams, etc. And then you started to look at the information that you were getting, the situation, whether it be in leisure, so my playing cards, I wanted my Braille cards in Scrabble and things like that. And then obviously literature, you were getting a range of information. And then when I was working, being able to write reports, read reports, and then use those in various meetings were pretty essential in order to getting on with your job.
How important do you think events like these are to help people celebrate Braille?
I think it's really important because I think it's still a very almost unknown secret what Braille is, or what it means and what its capacity is. And I think, you know, the push for audio access and audio options is wonderful, but so many of the things that I've been able to do and so many of my colleagues now can do really do need to be able to read Braille. You know, if you're doing an interview and you're having a script, etc., you can't easily have earpieces in. And for me, it's been able to go to a meeting with a script, with a notes, with whatever it is, and be able to then contribute to the fore. And Braille is certainly enabled me to do that.
What advice would you give to people who would like to start learning Braille?
I think it's, you know, don't be put off. It is a bit of a long haul. And then you'll get this wonderful moment where you'll be able to read something that you suddenly put in front of you without then having to get someone else to say, oh, well, this now says, and it's written like this and stuff like that. You can actually do it independently for yourself. So, you know, grade one, it gives you the alphabet. And then if you progress to grade two, you've got combinations of dots that then enable you to read quicker because the words are there formulated with, you know, fewer dots.
What would you say is the one thing you'd like people to know about Braille?
I think it's really the ramifications. Now with many of the applications usable on computerized machines, so I use my Braille device to link into my iPhone, to my computer, and I can then do most of the things using Braille input and reading Braille out, instead of having to rely on a speech in a crowded room or in a meeting. I can look at the agenda, etc., in Braille without then having the distraction of whether the audio bit's working or not. So basically, just look at the various applications that Braille can give you in terms of the freedom of meetings, of information, of getting the stuff that you need in a format that you can easily read.
What would you say to people who are saying that Braille could be quote-unquote extinct?
I think it's a worrying thought because I think it's mainly probably made by people that aren't using Braille and don't know the impact and the issues that Braille can actually provide for them. So they, you know, they're thinking that audio or whatever will be able to fit the gap. But in many situations, it won't. Like, you know, Scrabble games or whatever, they can't be done audibly. You can, I suppose, do them on computer, etc. But these are, you know, day-to-day stuff. We're interacting with other people allows you to use Braille and playing cards, etc. We're a big part of my growing up and integrating with friends, and learning that.
Have you got any funny Braille stories or insights?
I've got a couple, really. I remember very early on reading Braille books, probably in my mid to late teens. And, you always knew where you were getting to perhaps a slightly rude or salacious bit, because the dots got flatter and flatter where people have been reading those bits, you know, more often than other bits of the book. So that was always quite a funny thing, sort of waiting for the flat dots to come. And the other thing was, I had a pet dog who used to savage the post when it came in, and I had a big row with my wife, who I accused of spending £114 on something, and it turned out that she'd only spent £14, but when the brow statement had come through the door, the dog had bit it and put £100 where the dot should be with his tooth. And therefore, I suspected that he'd ended up with a £114 Sterling victim.